really quiet this time.
Because you told me I had to be.
Well, you do have to be. It's for the intro.
I know. Am I in trouble for being too quiet?
Well, I'm just surprised that you were that quiet. I'm amazed.
Well, I refused to move, so I didn't creak the table or anything.
You froze.
I froze.
It was awesome. Look at those guns.
Oh my gosh, I just tried to flex, and I think I just pulled a fat muscle.
Well, you've reached the Shays Lounge this week. This is great. Again.
And Vaughn.
I was kind of in the mood, like when Vaughn told me, hey, it's time to do the podcast, I was kind of almost saying, no, let's wait till tomorrow because I am severely impaired right now. And I don't know how I'm going to get through the next hour. I'm having so much trouble concentrating on you right now.
We'll see what we can do here.
Okay. And you, how many beers have you had?
I don't know. I've lost count.
It's been a bunch, though.
It's been several, yes.
Yeah.
I'm fussing up to go get another one because this one's almost out.
Well, Vaughn got home at like midnight last night because short night and whatnot. So he's been drinking ever since.
Not ever since. I came home and went to sleep. But no, I've been drinking on and off since.
No, you didn't come home and go to sleep.
Well, I was in bed before 2.
But you didn't go straight to sleep when you came home.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't think the listeners want to know about that. Anyway.
No. but I've been drinking on and off since I got up today.
Yeah. And we actually got up this morning early and
got some stuff done.
We did get some stuff done.
And we went to the grocery store and got the few little bit of groceries that we needed.
And it's good, too, because I've been seeing on Facebook that the grocery store has been slammed since about 10 o'clock this morning. But yeah. We were there at like 7:30, so it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's slammed because we are expecting a hellacious cold storm coming in.
Oh, my gosh.
Cold front.
All you people from the north need to come down here and get your damn weather because I don't want it.
Take it back with you.
Ugh. It's supposed to be... At one point, the weather forecast said it was going to be -3 on Monday.
Yeah.
It's not gone up.
Yeah, it's gone up a little bit, but not much.
No, not much. And I do not like being where the air hurts my face. No.
And what sucks is it's going to get even colder at night, and I work at night. And that's going to... Oh.
We're not set up for this in Texas. We don't have the big jackets that you need to go work in this weather. We don't have that stuff because this happens, 2 days a year? So there's no sense in buying a big jacket for 2 days a year. But those 2 days a year are dangerous.
I'm going to have my thermal. And I'm going to have my undershirt on that I always have. I'm going to have my thermal top. And then I'm going to have my long sleeve shirt.
And then a
stretchy
hoodie,
shirt.
And then a hoodie.
Hold on. You're getting too far ahead of me here.
Oh, I'm sorry. So we're at the stretchy shirt.
And then my work shirt.
Okay.
And then my hoodie.
Okay.
And then my coat.
Okay.
And my toboggan.
And the toboggan to keep the ears warm.
Yep. Because if my ears get cold, I'm done.
For me, it's my feet. If my feet get cold, I don't like it. That's why I have a heater under my desk at work. I do not like my feet getting cold. And when they get wet and then they get cold, it's just, ugh.
But I bought me some PJ pants today because I couldn't find a thermal bottom. So I'm going to wear these underneath my jeans tomorrow night at work.
They're Punisher pants.
Of course, they said, too, they told us, you know, there's a chance. They told us, you know, plan on coming to work tomorrow night. But there's a chance that they may be calling us to say, don't come in.
Yeah, well, I actually kind of hope that happens because it's going to be dangerous Sunday night. And I
won't be quite as safe on the road as I was in the past.
Oh?
Driving to and from work, at least.
That's true, because you don't have the all-terrain tires. I'm working on that. I am working on that. But we have not told our listeners what we did.
No, you got me another truck.
I did.
So I don't have I still have the four-wheel drive, but it's got street tires on it.
And so Vaughn does not like the street tires. He's been salty about it ever since we brought the truck home.
Yep. That's the only thing I don't like about that truck. I like everything else. I don't like the street tires. It's four-wheel drive, and street tires just look dumb.
Vaughn thinks I'm setting him up for something because I bought him the smoker, and then I bought him a truck, and, you know, a couple of other things.
Yeah, the couple Xbox other things. And some other stuff.
Yeah, and he thinks I'm trying to set him up for something. To be perfectly honest, I'm setting you up to rub my feet. That's what I want. I want a foot rub, maybe a back rub. But that's, you know, that's all I want. I've noticed you are asking a lot. Yeah, I know.
We may have to get all that tomorrow, though.
Why?
I mean, we might do some of it tonight.
Oh, you got to play your Vigi game. I'm sorry.
You know, Saturday night's for the boys. That has not changed. That's true. Every Saturday night.
That's true.
And then my oldest son is on.
Yeah, I was playing with him. You have to play with them.
And got off to get some food because Cricket and our youngest son. Well, why don't you tell about how he came up to you?
So, can I say his name?
Yeah.
Okay, so Parker comes up to me the other day and he says, "Mom, I want you to teach me how to cook." I said, "Okay, I mean, I'm not like a chef or anything, but I know how to cook."
He said, I figured you'd answer, "Well, why'd you come to me?"
Yeah. Just because I choose not to cook doesn't mean I don't know how. But he comes up to me and asks me to teach him how to cook because he wants to not only become an engineer, but he also wants to own a restaurant. And he needs to know how to cook so that he can own his own restaurant. I said, "Okay, I'll teach you what I know." And so he came up with the plan that we were going to go to the grocery store today. We were going to pick up some chicken wings, and I was going to teach him how to cook chicken wings. So that's what we did tonight. I taught him how to cook chicken wings. And we bought the whole wings, and I had him break them down into the little drummies and flats. And I taught him how to do bread and batter and fry and glaze and oven finish and everything.
But what I was impressed about is that we didn't buy the already pre-cut wings. We bought the whole wings, and Cricket showed him on like a couple of them how to separate the parts.
Right, how to break the wings down.
And after she showed him on like a couple of them, he went to town and got the rest of them done.
He did. I was very proud of him.
I mean, most of the stuff that he did.
Yeah.
Peace.
He did the bulk of the work.
Yeah, I mean, he did a really good job with it. I mean, I was very impressed.
I mean, I did the double battering because he didn't want to go back and forth, and he was a little worried about putting the chicken wings in the grease because he said he didn't want to get burnt.
Right.
But aside from that, you know, he did everything else, and I showed him how to glaze wings and finish them in the oven, and because that's the trick that a lot of people don't necessarily use is you finish frying them, you let them sit for a minute to let that grease dry, then you put your barbecue sauce on them, and then you throw them in the oven for 10 minutes.
Yeah, they turned out really good. I know I got full. I'm stuffed right now.
Me too. And they were big wings, and I had a lot of batter. I double batter mine, so it's a lot of batter.
Yeah. Now you said, you said you wanted to do a tempura batter. So I guess you didn't even know how to make those, dude.
No, I don't know how to make it. I just know it's a lighter batter.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to Google it and figure out how to do tempura and see if I can make a tempura wing.
Because I don't know how to do a tempura batter either.
So you've been listening to a lot of our old podcasts.
Yes, I have. I've gone back. And actually, I was sitting there thinking about as a idea for a sort of a subject matter for one of our podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Is to go back. I need to start making notes of some of the stuff and corrections.
Yeah, because some stuff we got wrong.
Because like just for instance, we were talking about WWE one night.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, when people go from one promotion to another, or if they come up from NXT to the Raw or SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
if they have a title belt, they always have them drop the belt to somebody, and then they move up to Raw or SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been the deal. Neglected to add that there was an exception, and that was Asuka.
Okay.
Because, you know, she's from Japan, and the entire time she was in NXT, she never lost. And then she, like, just relinquished the belt, came to Raw, and went for another long time without being defeated. So that was, like, a big deal. So
I wonder why they had her never lose. I wonder if that was in her contract.
Oh, I don't know.
Like, I mean, because every wrestler loses.
Yeah.
So I wonder if she came over here and that was like one of the stipulations was I don't lose till I decide.
Well, I don't know because I don't really know how many of them are like that. Now, you'll hear some and say, well, I'll drop the belt, but I'm not dropping it to that person.
Mm-hmm.
But not many of them think that they alone are bigger than the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I'm not losing until I say I'm losing. You know, because they get people like that. They're like, well, you know, we were doing just fine without you. We'll do, you know, before, we can do just fine without you in the future.
Sit on the bench.
Yeah, bye. We don't need you.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I just think I don't see that being as something she would have done. I mean, well, I know that there was a lot of issues I've seen in the past about Hulk Hogan,
mm-hmm.
about how he did not enjoy taking losses at all.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got people like Undertaker, who it was him. Like when his streak got broken, I think we've talked about this before, though.
Mm-hmm.
At WrestleMania, he's the one that really pushed Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon to have Brock Lesnar be the one that defeated his streak.
Because
mm-hmm. Brock, I mean, he said he almost backed out of the match completely.
Because
he didn't want to be that person, you know. Yeah. And Vince didn't want him to do it, you know, because that was just the aura of him. But, you know, he's like, you know, I'm not bigger than the business, you know. And it was him that had to convince the other two to let it go through that way. And it was, they said, about an hour before the match is when Vince finally said, okay, fine.
We'll do it your way.
We'll do it that way.
Yeah.
And so.
My favorite match with Undertaker in it, though, was when Undertaker fought Shawn Michaels. And Shawn Michaels was
lowered down
from that the ceiling with all the bright white light, and then Undertaker came up from the floor.
Yeah.
With all the red light and the smoke and everything. That was great. One of the best entrances. That one and the Triple H entrance where he entered on the throne.
And they were carrying him and everything. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was pretty badass.
I mean, I've never seen I've only ever seen 1 week Undertaker entrance at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a few years ago because they had it booked horribly. I mean, it was an open air arena,
mm-hmm.
which I think is extremely gutsy.
Yeah,
you know, because considering how far advanced they planned this thing, but when they should have had his match be one of the last ones of the card,
mm-hmm.
because you know his whole thing, you know, the lights would go off, you'd hear the gong and all that kind of stuff. Well, it was still freaking daylight outside when they had his match. And that was I think that's one of the dumbest bookings I've ever seen of one of his matches, because it just completely took away from a lot of the aura that he brought to the table, you know?
He had one other entrance, because his entrance is always like super, super slow.
Yeah.
He just kind of eases his way down the ramp and everything. But they had one WrestleMania one time where the ramp was like 5 miles long.
Yes.
And he had to basically run to the ring to get through his entrance music. Because if he had done like the slow walk, he would have finished up like halfway to the ring, and that would have been that.
Yeah.
Or it would have taken him 30 minutes to get out there.
Now, one entrance of his I will never forget, and I bet no one ever even saw it except for you and I.
Yeah.
And this was way back a long time ago.
This was back in like 2007.
It was before that.
No, it was before that, because it was 2000. It was either 2005 or 2006.
Yeah. But
we had it TiVo'd.
And you know, and when he was coming out, they had the smoke, and it kind of had a little close up on him, not like extremely close up on his face, and it was pure accident, impossible to
you can't recreate
this. But when the smoke went in front of his face, it
lit up for a second,
and the way it was moving, it looked like a skull.
Perfectly over his face.
Yes, it was a creepiest thing. You're just like, but that's something that'll never happen again. Last week when we recorded, you were stopped up, I think, and this week I feel like I'm starting to get weight.
Yeah.
And that just hit me in the last 20 minutes.
Oh my goodness, you'll be okay.
Yeah, I'll be all right.
All right, drink that beer. You'll be okay.
Well, this weather, though. Oh, and one thing about the wings too, I had to threaten our son. Because there's things that irk everybody.
Yeah.
You know, the
nails on a chalkboard.
Nails on a chalkboard. Doesn't bother me a bit. But my worst things are the little picture cards.
The little 3D picture cards.
That have the ridges.
Yeah.
My jaw's hurting right now thinking about it. Ugh. Yeah.
Gives him the eebie-jeebies.
Gives
so
him the eebie-jeebies. Slightly crooked pictures.
Yeah.
In places.
Badly crooked he can deal with, but it's when it's just enough off that you can notice it.
And you can tell that they've done everything they could to make it straight, and mm-hmm. it's a little bit off, that just, I can't handle it.
I had to walk across a restaurant one time and straighten a picture for him just so he could eat.
Well, I was eating, but I wouldn't look up.
Yeah.
Because every time I looked up at you, I could see the crooked picture behind you. And I couldn't handle it.
And then tonight, your third one.
Metal on teeth. I cannot handle it. Forks. People that drag forks are... Ugh. Sorry. Ugh. Forks or spoons or anything like that across your teeth. Ugh. And he was eating his wing with a fork.
Because he didn't like the batter. It was too thick. And so he used a fork to pull the batter off of it and just kept eating the wing with the fork.
But every, three or four times in a row, when he would stick that fork in his mouth, he would drag it across his teeth.
You guys can't see him. He's making these gagging motions. I'm afraid he's going to yak all over the table.
And I told him, I said, look, dude, I love you. I said, but if you keep doing that, you're going to eat out on the front porch. I know it's cold, but I don't give a damn. You're not going to sit here at my table and eat like a caveman.
Caveman didn't have forks.
Ugh, or whatever. I don't care. I mean, just no. Not at my table. Will not happen. But, yeah. Ugh.
Speaking of the weather, we actually got a project done today.
Yes. That was actually something I had listed for us to talk about. I kind of had the idea of doing something, and you brought it to life. Because I think, didn't I have the idea? I don't know. One of us did.
You had the idea, but I...
We have like three storage buildings on our property. One we use kind of as the...
Like the tool shed.
Tool shed and workshop.
Yeah, it's got the lawnmower in it, that sort of thing.
One's a straight up storage junk shed.
Yeah.
And then the other one, we don't have enough stuff to put in that one. So that one was empty.
Mm, and we were using it for the kids' playhouse.
Yeah.
The loft part at the top. He was up there.
Yeah. But we decided to get a couple extension cords and run them out there. We moved the heat lamps.
Mm-hmm. Because, okay, let's back up a little bit. On our back porch, Vaughn redid it. Because it used to, the house that we live in, a little old man used to live in it. And he had a wheelchair and a walker and needed help getting down the stairs. So they built ramps everywhere. So our back porch was a ramp leading up to just a little flat area.
Right.
So Vaughn tore the ramp down last year and put steps in. The porch is L-shaped, okay? So there was this unused L part of it that we didn't, you know, it was just part of the porch that we weren't doing anything with. So Vaughn enclosed it,
right,
into a doghouse, and actually I think Alex helped with this too. So if he listens, hi Alex.
Yep.
But anyway, so they enclosed it and we sealed it, and it's mostly waterproof.
It's waterproof.
And you know, we put heat lamps and hay in there, and it's toasty warm. But it's also 3/4 of it is open. And so I was a little worried about the dogs being in that. Oh, what have you done to yourself?
One of the times I got out of the truck and went to go close the door and didn't get out of the way quick enough because I'm fat and old and slow.
Oh. Well, don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Anyway,
so I was worried about this old doghouse that we had just not being warm enough for them. Plus, Dante won't let Drax in there. And so Drax has been sleeping under the porch where we had a second heat lamp and some more hay. But it's getting too cold for them to sleep in the wind like that. So Vaughn suggested, could we maybe put them in this old unused storage shed? And so we went today and we got like 5 bales of hay And we got extension cords, and we got those two heat lamps and hooked them up in this unused storage building and put down the hay, and it's like super thick in there. And then we tied the door back where they have just enough room to get in and out, and put their food bowls in there. And last I saw, they were in there. So I'm hoping...
Yeah, I told you they'd figure it out.
I'm worried about them, though, because dogs can't make... They can't make decisions in a linked fashion. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, warm is over here, therefore I need to go over here, therefore I need to go inside this place that I've never gone before.
Yeah, out of habit, I'm pretty sure I'll sleep one of them in the little other doghouse part.
Yeah, but there is hay in there, so
they're at least out of the wind, and there's hay. But it was so funny, because when we were doing it, the little...
The Chiweeny?
Chiweeny was, like, burrowing under the hay and stuff. He was loving it.
He really was. And Drax was loving it, too.
Oh, yeah.
He was burrowing up under the hay.
I think all of them were liking it.
Yeah. So, I think it'll work. And it makes me feel better because they're out of the wind. It's a bigger area so they can get away from one another. We'll just have to go in there tomorrow and see what they've done with the hay and see how much more we need to put down.
Well, we only had to use two of them. And so we still got three other bales in there. So actually, we have four bales
because we've got that other one over there.
Yeah, I forgot we had that extra one.
But you need to replace that with something that's going to keep them in the backyard.
Yeah,
the hay bale is covering up a hole that Ditto dug under the gate.
Oh, bastard dog! Always digging up shit and finding another spot.
He's a smart dog. Now he's the one that could actually make active connections from point A to point B to point C.
He's probably the one that brought the other ones over there to the doghouse, to the shed with him. Hey, idiots, come over here.
But anyway, I don't have a whole lot to talk about. The impeachment hearing, the last day of the impeachment was today. And the vote to either convict or acquit was today.
Yeah.
And we knew he was going to be acquitted. They're just...
Oh, yeah, there was no doubt.
There's... 17 Republicans with spines don't exist. So, but what was surprising to me is that 7 Republicans did vote with the Democrats. That's way more than I thought would.
Yeah.
I was expecting maybe 4 tops. But.
And it's so funny, too, because I'm seeing people already on Facebook. So there's 43 people are the only ones up in Congress that knew how to read the Constitution and know what and stand up for it.
I don't think that's how that works.
Yeah.
I love all the constitutional scholars on Facebook.
Right. All I know now is if Biden loses re-election, his lame duck period, he can do whatever the hell he wants. It don't matter.
He can go out front and murder somebody, and there should be no consequences.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is... I hope that if I ever have to go in front of a jury, I get to go in front of one that helped me get away with what I did. Because that's exactly what happened here. And the defense attorneys were terrible.
They were absolutely horrible.
But it didn't matter because they could have gotten up there and sang show tunes for 3 hours and then ended with, and in conclusion, my client did it. And he would still have gotten acquitted.
Well, even like McConnell voted to acquit and then come out and said...
Yes, he's guilty of it.
He's guilty of it, but that should be in a criminal charge.
Which it will be because is it the mayor of D.C.?
Washington, D.C.
Yeah, whoever runs Washington, D.C. is bringing criminal charges against Trump.
And so is Georgia.
And Georgia is bringing criminal charges against Trump and Lindsey Graham. Which would be really interesting because both of them made a phone call to Georgia asking for more votes and to overturn the election.
Now, the one with Lindsey, I listened to that one. It wasn't as blatant as what Trump did when he called Georgia. I mean, that was just, I'm down by this many votes. I need you to find me that many votes plus one.
Yeah.
And they're trying to say, oh, that's not really what he was saying. Did you not listen to it? That's exactly what he was doing. Get y'all's head out of your asses and turn your freaking... I don't
understand why people are so taken by this guy. I just don't understand it. But he in a lot of people's eyes, you know, he can do no wrong. And, like, I don't know anybody like that. I just don't.
Well, that's what I asked one the other day. I said, so you don't think he's done anything wrong ever since he's been president? They're like, no. I said, then you agree it's a cult.
Yeah.
If you cannot acknowledge any wrongdoings of your leader, you're in a cult.
Yeah. I think we went over that last week.
If you can't acknowledge a fault in him, then all of your opinions on him are invalid.
And if his faults are not a deal breaker for you, when those faults include things like being a Nazi.
I mean, what? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, actually, I'm not going to be wrong. I'm going to ask a question. Has there ever been a president ever that has sat there during a campaign rally, told his followers to go beat somebody up?
Go rough them up. I'll pay your legal fees.
Right. I mean, has anything like that ever happened? Have we ever had anybody like that?
If it has, I don't know about it. Now, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on, you know, campaign speeches, but I don't think anything like that has happened.
Because I was thinking a lot about that the other day, and I kind of brought it into almost like a little baseball analogy. Because, you know, I try to relate everything to that. I said, you know, so basically with them acquitting him today, you know, that's like saying, like, you know, we'll use made up names, okay? Donald was a baseball coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he found out that one of the other teachers at the school named Joe was trying to take his baseball job, coaching job. And, of course, he got mad about it. Didn't want him to do it. So Donald sends his baseball team, the ones that want to keep him there as coach, over to Joe's classroom, and they beat up Joe and the students in his class.
Mm-hmm.
You could say they might have even killed one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, you know, Joe. You know, he gets beat up, he goes to the hospital, whatever, right? Well, Donald gets fired because of it.
Right.
Right? And then Joe says, hey, me and these kids, we're pressing charges on Donald for what he got his players to do.
Right.
Well, based off this Republican thought process now, Joe can't file charges on Donald because Donald's no longer a coach.
Right.
And the school board that said that he could not do that, or the police or whoever said, you can't file charges on him, and in 4 years you got to let him come back and try to be a coach again.
Mm-hmm.
Same damn thing.
Yeah, it's like the school administration looking at that coach looking at Donald, the coach.
Now, those are just made up names.
Those are just made up names.
We're not using real names here.
But looking at Donald, the coach, and saying, yeah, it's fine. We're not going to censure you. We're not going to put anything in your permanent record. And it's okay for you to try to come back.
Give it 4 years, and you can come back and try to be a coach again.
Yeah.
But with all this, I heard something that really kind of made you shiver to think about a little bit. A lot of these people were saying, oh, y'all are just doing this because you don't want him to run again because you're afraid he's to run against him. You're afraid to run against him.
You're afraid he's going to win.
And they're like, it's not that we're afraid to run against him. And we're not afraid that if he runs again, that he's going to win. They said what we're most afraid of is that he runs again and loses again.
Mm-hmm. Because there will be blood in the streets.
What is he going to get his people to do next time?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I kind of thought about that. I said, but if he tries to pull the same shit he did this time, he doesn't have the office of the presidency to protect him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wonder.
Somebody needs to yank a knot in his ass is what needs to happen.
Well, I wonder how far he's going to get in the primaries, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, they are all saying he's still the favorite.
I mean, I understand that, but, you know, Joe Biden wasn't the favorite, and he still got the nomination. You know? Hillary Clinton wasn't the favorite, and she still got the nomination. So it's not being the favorite that'll get you the nomination. It's who the party wants to put forth. And it's very possible that the party doesn't want to have to deal with his bullshit in 4 years and just won't nominate him. That's a possibility. I mean, that's best case scenario, I suppose.
Well, I can tell you right now, if he runs again, he will get the nomination again.
Okay.
Because they are too scared of him to not give him what he wants.
And I don't understand that either. What does he have on them?
It's all of these people, the voters, but that just live their day just to hear what the next words are coming out of his mouth.
But honestly, those people are probably less than half of Trump's actual supporters. Because the cultists are not the same thing as people who voted for him because he was the Republican nominee. And they didn't have a choice because it was party over country, not man over country. There are some people who are man over country, but they're not the majority of Trump supporters.
But they know that they're only if he runs, he is their only shot at winning back the White House. Because if they don't give him the nomination, you're going to have a whole bunch of pissed off Trump, even if it's half of them, they're not going to go vote. No, y'all wouldn't give us the guy we wanted. We're not voting for your other stupid Republican guy you're putting up there.
Yeah.
We're not Republican, we're Trumpers.
Yeah. But that's where the schism in the party happens. And
yeah.
He's going to primary with them in 2024 because he doesn't want to try to primary against them as a third party. But that in itself will schism the party one way or the other.
Because
there's going to be Republicans that don't want to vote for Trump because he is Trump.
But they'll
stay home.
But there will be Republicans that will go out and vote for him because he's the only running as a Republican.
Right.
But like my parents
who vote Republican regardless.
They put somebody else in there and refuse to give it to him, then his loyalists, his cult followers, are not going to vote for somebody else. Unless they can get him to come out and start campaigning for that person.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and well, it's not a limb, but I'm going to say something stupid, and I know it's stupid. I like to think Republicans have more common sense / spines than that.
They don't. They proved that today.
That's true, which is why I knew that was stupid. But do people like Ted Cruz really represent the constituency?
He thinks he does.
That's the problem. He thinks he does.
Even but with him and that dumbass haircut, mullet shit he's got going on right now.
How many people voted for Ted Cruz because he was just the front runner in the primary and he knows how to slap a few palms? And how many voted for him because he's a Trump supporter? Texas is a very purple state. Don't let people fool you.
It's getting more purple every year, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the bigger cities is what's starting to that blue.
Mm-hmm.
And the major cities is starting to spread outwards.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But what cracks me up is I hear people like Laura Ingraham and other people on Fox News. They're like, if we allow this to happen, the Democrats are going to control government forever and we're never going to get back in. And I'm like, isn't that what you're trying to do yourselves? Not let anybody else on the playground? You want the whole thing for yourselves forever because you think you're right? It's the same shit. The Democrats think they're right and everything that they do is correct. And the Republicans think the exact same way.
Yeah.
Now, one of them believes in human rights and the other one doesn't, so I know which one I'm going for. Or at least they paid lip service to human rights.
Yeah.
Which is better than actively preventing human rights. Because at least they're not actively restricting them.
Right.
So I know which
one they may not be fighting for them quite as hard as you would like for them to.
Right, but they're not fighting against them actively.
Yeah.
So.
That's like, what were you telling me about, like, the Salvation Army?
Oh, the Salvation Army will turn away transgender people, homeless people, from their shelters because they don't believe that transgender should be a thing. So I don't donate to the Salvation Army because on a night like tonight, when it's going to get down into the single digits, the Salvation Army would turn away a transgender teenager and sentence them to death in the cold.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I do not like the Salvation Army. And there's a couple of other charities that do the same thing. And I want nothing to do with them.
You know, I meant to think about charities made me want to research something that I never got around to doing. Because remember when I was asking you about how donations work? Because
mm-hmm.
I was always, you know, like I said, I always hear that Cars for Kids thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you donate something to them and say you get a tax credit for it, but, like, if the value of something that you donated was $10,000, how much would that actually help you out on your taxes, I wonder?
It depends on if you itemize your taxes or not. Because most people who do, like, W-2s and don't have, like, a whole bunch of, like, medical bills and property taxes and all kinds of stuff like that, most of those people don't itemize their taxes and just take the standard deduction, which is $25,500. If I'm remembering our taxes correctly. If you itemize, you could potentially have more deductions than the $25,000. And that's how you would get to that point, by donating large ticket items like boats and cars and property to these charities.
Boats.
Boats, yeah, boats and hoes.
piece of bread.
You got to talk about the piece of bread.
I don't know who sent me that, but it was a...
It was a TikTok.
It was a TikTok of this guy, and he was talking about the heel piece of the loaf of bread.
Yeah, and he couldn't get through it. He was giggling so hard.
He was laughing so hard, because they were talking about, oh, well, you know, we call it the heel, we call it the foot, we call it this, we call it that.
We call it the butt, we call it the booty of the bread.
And the one where he really cracked up the most is when he was trying to get it out. They said that some people, some of his family members or some of his friends... call that piece of bread the hoe. And he said they call it the hoe because everybody touches it, but no, nobody really want it.
Which I just want to say for the record on the Chaise Lounge, we are sex worker positive, but, you know, a dumb joke is a dumb joke, and it's funny.
Speaking of dumb jokes, kids, he's slacking. He hadn't told me any good dumb jokes this week.
Who, Parker?
Yeah.
Yeah, Parker's the one with the dumb jokes.
He's always got a good dumb joke.
He told me one the other day, and I don't remember now what it was, but it made me laugh.
I don't know. He hadn't told me one in a while. Now, I was really surprised with him because he played some Warzone with us the other day. And there was a few of our rounds, he led us in kills. We're like, what? And then the next day, me and Cardboard were on, and he's like, hey, where's Parker? We need somebody to help carry us. I was like, he's at school. We need to come home. But he's, you know, he surprised me with that, and then with his cooking tonight, I mean, he's on a roll.
And he's getting contacts on the 27th.
Yeah. So oh.
He's,
no, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and he's getting bigger, getting older.
Yeah. Remember Tim Tebow?
Yeah, the one who wrote John 3:16 on his eye makeup.
I guess, but I didn't know that he was still trying to play baseball.
Baseball?
Yeah, he's been in baseball for a while.
He was a middling quarterback. What makes him think he'd be any good at baseball?
Well, he was a baseball and football player, I think, in college.
Okay,
he was a good baseball player. He really was.
Well, clearly not.
But he is right now, he is already listed on the New York Mets spring training roster.
Cool.
So he got invited to spring training.
Is he going to take a knee before every game?
I don't know.
Wait, do you take a knee after the game when you're praying? I never understood the rules of when you're allowed to kneel or not. Can you just kneel anytime if you're white?
I don't know. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but I saw something that was posted the other day with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that if anybody on my team kneels, I'm out. I'm leaving.
Oh, well. Bye. Bye, Felicia.
So if anybody on his team kneels during the national anthem, he was gone.
He is on the wrong side. I don't give a damn how many Super Bowl rings he has. He's on the wrong side of history.
Yep.
And he's a Trump supporter, and he's an anti-masker, and he's the biggest dipshit. I used to like Tom Brady, but right now, fuck Tom Brady. And he did not earn that Super Bowl ring. I watched the game. He didn't earn it.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I was at work. I was listening to it, but...
Now, Kansas City made some bad plays. 100%. But there were at least two horrible calls where they called pass interference on Kansas City for an uncatchable throw.
Yeah.
And
I know which one you're talking about, because if he wouldn't have accidentally tripped the guy, he wouldn't have called it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
It was 15 yards away from the receiver. There was no way he could get that ball. But there was two of those calls, and it put Kansas City in such a position that they couldn't come back from it.
And the woman that was the referee,
mm-hmm.
she defended all their calls too. She said, hey, we called it like we saw it,
Well, you need to get some glasses. Sorry. I don't think that
I am glad though that they did have a female referee. It's about time. But of course the jokes come out about it.
Of course.
And they're like, oh man, they need to, if they really want a game to be officiated 100% correctly, they need to have an all female umpiring staff.
Mm-hmm. Because they remember every call.
Well, who the better to point out shit wrong that guys do?
But the problem is, you wouldn't know who won the game until 2 weeks later because they wouldn't tell you what was wrong.
Right? It's like throw a flag for something you did 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. Maybe that's what they were doing to Patrick Mahomes. Maybe he pissed her off.
Yeah.
She's throwing flags.
What was that for?
If you don't know.
You remember last week?
If you don't know, I'm not going to tell you.
Well, I'm not going to tell you. 15-yard penalty for... You know what? If they don't know, I'm not telling them. 15 yards. Let's go.
I'd pay to watch that game.
Right?
Bunch of pissed off females out there on the field calling the game. They would hate Tom Brady, though. They'd rule against him every time.
Oh, gosh, yes. He's such a prima donna.
He's a dick. But I was listening to a podcast the Monday after the Super Bowl. And they were talking about his insane workout schedule and he does to stay healthy. Like, no sugar, no fruit, only certain vegetables, certain types of protein. He works with a guru. He is up every morning at 4:30 every morning. He goes to bed at 8:30 every night. He trains harder and more often than anybody.
One thing they talk about is how he is such a student of the game.
Yeah.
Right? And one thing I would have never in a million years thought somebody would have thought to do this. But, he had a house down in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know if they bought it or if they had it or what. But... it was a coach or another player or somebody went to his house, and outside, in his driveway, he had this ball rack out there, and it was full of footballs, brand new footballs that he went and bought,
mm-hmm.
NFL style exact right. footballs they have in the NFL, and they were just sitting out there, and he's from New England.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy kind of looked at it. He's walking up, and he's like, "Well, that's just weird." And he went inside, and when he was talking to Tom, he said, "Man, I got to ask you, what's up with the ball rack out there with the footballs on it?" He goes, "Well, I'm used to New England." He said, "The humidity down here is different." He said, "So I've got those balls out there in the weather and in the sun and the humidity so that I can go out there and mess with them every day
And get used to what it feels like.
Because the ball is going to feel differently. And I was just like, holy crap, man. This guy just thinks of everything.
He really does. And I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback. I'm just saying he did not earn that Super Bowl win.
But, I mean, just the
dedication that it takes.
It's crazy, the attention to detail.
Yeah.
Of just, I mean, I would have never, ever, ever thought of doing something like that.
Yeah. Oh, one of the wacky things about him is this guru that he works with that may be the reason that he left New England. Because Belichick was trying to get him to stop working with this guru because the guy's like got control of him. And the rumor is that Belichick told him, guru or get out. And Tom Brady's like, bye. And fucked off to Tampa Bay. But this guy sells concussion water, which is, that's the exact face that I made when I heard about this. It protects you from getting a concussion, and Tom Brady swears that he's never had one. Now, Giselle slipped up and said something about, I'm married to a football player. They have concussions every year. But Tom Brady swears he has never had a concussion. And it's because of this water that this guru sells.
Well, it could partially be deep, too, because, I mean, even when he gets sacked, I mean, it's not like he didn't get blindsided very often.
They changed the rules for Tom Brady. Did you know that?
No.
All the rules that are coming up for how you treat a quarterback are because Tom Brady got hurt that one time. And they're like, oh, well, we're not going to allow that to happen anymore. They change the rules on what you can do. Like, when you sack a quarterback, you have to lay him down gently. And, you know, you can't just, like, go...
just give him flags.
Right? Just give him flags.
But, I mean, even before that, though, like, he it's not like it's very often he... because he's got such good field vision. I mean, he's like he can tell when the pocket's closing in on him. If he needs to move. I mean, it's without even... it's weird. It's like he's got eyes in the back of his head. Maybe they got the earpiece and they don't turn it off like they're supposed to. And they're like, oh, okay, come on, go. I don't know, but he just doesn't get hit a whole lot.
Well, and also in New England, he had an amazing offensive line. And in Tampa Bay, he's got an amazing offensive line.
Yeah.
So you have that kind of protection. I could probably go out there and throw a football.
I mean, even the defense to Tampa Bay, I mean, they really did play good, though.
They did. I'm not saying that the teams didn't play good. I'm saying he did not earn that win.
Well, even though those plays, I mean, it's not like the Tampa Bay defense allowed Patrick Mahomes to do anything.
No, he really...
I mean, if you Mahomes had told me before like the twice. Game that Mahomes would not even get a touchdown pass in that game, I'd call you a damn liar. There's no way.
They were all talking about in the fourth quarter when they were down by like 20 points or 21 points or whatever. They were talking about, oh, he's come back from deficits like this before because Mahomes is good at playing from behind. And he just, it was like he was not at the game.
He just couldn't get it going.
Just mentally, he was just not there.
It's almost like Tampa Bay had their playbook, and every time they got out, oh, this is what they're doing. And it's like they didn't get hardly surprised on anything.
No.
But I know, I mean, like I said, I didn't get to watch it, but just listening to them talk about it, they said, you know, every time Kansas City tried to run the ball, they would, boom, close in on them.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they threw the ball, it was like, you know, they always look at yards after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have very many yards after the catch because Tampa Bay's defense, they got a lot of really fast players. And it's like the guy caught it, and immediately he was just swarmed.
Well, and they were swarming Mahomes. He didn't have any room in the pocket. He didn't have time to actually make a good throw. He was throwing the ball away more than he was doing anything else, just trying to stop the clock and maybe get better field position later on. I mean, he was being rushed. Tampa Bay played good football. They did not earn the win.
I'm just glad football season's over. The real sporting season's coming up soon.
Well, I don't know. If we keep having this kind of weird weather, it may not be.
No, it'll happen. This baseball season's about to start.
This is the year it's going to snow in April. You watch.
Be all right. I'm ready for the season to get started. Curious to see how a lot of this stuff ends up.
Have you been following it? Any MLB news?
Well, I did download quite a few MLB podcasts the other day, but I haven't listened to any of them yet. But I need to start seeing what all is going on there.
Yeah, Vaughn has Android Auto in his in the truck we got him the other day. And so he's been using Waze on his way to work. And he's been, because it's got the screen, you know, and it shows you everything on the screen. But also I downloaded Pocket Cast for him and got him hooked up with a bunch of podcasts. That's where he's been listening to the old shows.
Yeah, I've been listening to that and After the Bell with Corey Graves.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff to listen to.
I really enjoyed the one where he was talking about Edge, or when he had Edge on there.
Yeah. Well, tell the story about the cookies.
What's his real name? I can't think of his last name. It's Adam something. Well, you know, at the Royal Rumble when he returned, Corey said he had saw him in the back. Now, I can't remember if he said it was before the match or after the match, but he was just really happy.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, so were you just happy about the win, or were you happy about going out, or what was it? And he goes, dude, no, it was the cookies. And they're like, what? He said, they had this table in the back that had these little packages of like three cookies in each one. And he said, well, wasn't nobody around, so I took all of them. I was so happy I had cookies. And he was staying with Christian, and he said after the Rumble, you know, they went back to his house. And hung out, and he said, we stayed up to like 6-7 o'clock in the morning eating cookies. And, you know, because he said, I know on Monday Night Raw the next night, I was scheduled for like a promo. And I'm like, okay, I can handle that. You know, but he said he was up to like 6 or 7. He said he probably ate like 50 freaking cookies that night. And he got to the arena, and they said, hell yeah, you got your promo. And he said, oh yeah, but you're also having a match tonight with Randy Orton. And he was just like, he said his first thought was, oh, shit. He said, so I had that match with 48 cookies in my belly. He said, I was moving a little slow. It was rough. He said, but luckily, you know, I talked with Randy about it ahead of time. You know, he kind of helped pull me through that one because I was having some rough times because I was not planning on that.
Can you imagine being a wrestler and the guy you're facing that night comes to you and is like, dude, I ate like 50 cookies this morning. You're going to have to help me. I bet Randy Orton was messing with him.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he was laughing his ass off. I'm going to have to go back and watch that match just to see if I can catch any lip movements about seeing if I could just see Randy say something, how them cookies now, or something, you know.
But or just watch the match and see if you can tell where he's slower than he normally is.
Right? Because apparently he said he had some trouble that match with those cookies, so.
Well, those guys are such elite athletes, and they keep themselves in such good shape. I imagine a cheat day with cookies is probably just... That'll rip you a new one.
I mean, you got to think, too, about, you're talking about them being athletes, just the pure endurance level of these guys.
Yeah, because when they go out for a match, it's not like MMA where you give it everything you've got for 43 seconds.
And you're done.
But
I mean, these guys, some of these matches go on for a long time, and it's just...
I'm slandering MMA. I apologize for any MMA watchers.
Well, that's like you talked about last week. You don't want to pay for an MMA pay-per-view because you may get a 10-second fight.
Yeah.
Or like that one, it was a while back. The referee or whatever they call him, you know, said, all right, fight. And they knew that this guy knew that the other guy liked to shoot, which mm-hmm. is like try to go down and grab early. So when they said fight, you know, they started running toward each other. And that one, sure enough, went to go down. And that other one just come running up with a flying knee, popped the dude right in the face. Match was over that quick.
Mm-hmm.
It was like fight, bam, boom, he was out.
Yeah, and then you got 3 hours of commentators.
And then you're like, well, that was the worst $50 I ever spent.
Right. But you got a wrestling match. These guys are out there in matches for 10 to 15 minutes. And there's not a whole lot of resting that's happening in that 10 to 15 minutes.
They do have resting moves. If you see headlocks, any kind of move where they're on the ground, these quote-unquote submission holds.
Yeah.
Now, One of them I'm trying to figure out how they do without really hurting somebody is Flair.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name?
Charlotte.
Charlotte. You know, she does the figure four, but then she does says it's the figure eight, and she kind of bridges up.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all those submission moves that I've seen, if you've never been put in a figure four,
that's
for real.
That hurts.
That shit hurts. So I don't see how they managed to add that extra pressure with her doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just, oh, because I mean, I've seen people get in that trying to, you know, messing around and say what it was like. And you're immediately like, ah, let me go. Because it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts bad. You know, like some of those, like the sharpshooter.
Whatever.
That doesn't hurt.
The one where they grab your face. Whatever.
You know, there's a bunch of them like, okay, you're in the submission hold. Why don't you just move your arm? He's got you in the head. Why don't you just move your other arm? You're just sitting there, man. Come on. You know, some of them are really dumb. But that's when it gets into the ability of that performer is to be able to sell that move. You know? I mean, like, the ultimate seller.
The Rock.
Is watching The Rock take a stunner from Stone Cold.
Oh,
that
my
was
gosh.
The best.
I love watching him take a stunner because
he
just flops
that was
all
the
over
Rock's
the ring.
Best move in the ring was to take a stunner from Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Because other than that, the dude is lucky he has such great mic skills. Because his in-ring skills were freaking horrible.
Okay, so The Rock had like two moves that he did. And that was it. And
well, like during the match, all he did was the little stomp thing when he would punch somebody. He didn't really do anything else.
Well, you got to think too. He was brought up by old school wrestlers, so that's what they do. There wasn't a whole lot of flashy moves. That stuff came later.
Yeah, but
because what is he like a third generation wrestler?
I know, but still, I mean,
he never was an innovator in the ring.
Yeah, he didn't.
He's not Ricochet.
No, or some of these other guys. I mean,
Finn Balor.
Finn Balor, I mean, he's
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
He The Rock is not those guys. But the reason he is such a lasting figure in the WWE is because he could take that mic and make you believe anything.
Yeah. Held the people in the palm of his hand.
Absolutely. I remember watching, he was in the back one time, and he was doing a promo, and he said, "Can you hear them?" And he put his hand behind his ear.
Chanting
the Rock's name. And they started saying, "Rock, Rock, Rock, Rock." And then he would tell them to be quiet. And they would get quiet. And then he would tell them to get louder. And they would get louder.
Oh, yeah.
It was a thing of beauty.
But like I said, he's lucky because that's the only really good thing he had going for him.
But you know what? When you've got something that you can do well,
and
lean
you can
into
do it that,
that shit.
Well.
Lean into it.
But see, that's what I've always liked about Chris Jericho so much. Because he had the mic skills.
He did.
On par with The Rock.
At least.
On par with The Rock, if not better, in my opinion. But he had the match skills and the in-ring skills to go along with it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
edge.
You don't get a whole lot of them like that. Orton as a heel does pretty good.
Yeah, but only as a heel. He's not a good face. He's a Stone Cold style face.
Right.
But he doesn't do well on the mic as a face.
Well, one thing I like about him, he doesn't change a whole lot.
He doesn't need to because he doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay. When Big Show, the difference between Big
yes.
Show the face and Big Show the heel is like two different people. Because Big Show the heel is mean and scary. And Big Show the face is a big old teddy bear.
He's walking out to the ring smiling and
bouncing,
waving.
Just like, ah. Yeah. Yeah, I love the difference between babyface Big Show and heel Big Show.
Yeah.
Because it's wildly different. And you can tell. And I remember when he went from being a face to being a heel in the middle of a match because he turned on somebody.
Yep.
And it was like, different person.
That was during, I know one of the times he did that was during one of the Survivor Series matches. Because he was on one team and he punched his own teammate and he immediately just changed characters.
It was great. Great watching it. Oh my goodness.
The only thing that was bad about it is it was I know they were trying to play that off as a big shocker and surprise, but I remember watching that, and the way he was, it was Cena that he punched.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he was helping Cena up and kind of looking over him when they were standing off at the other guys, I'm like, I don't know if I was watching it with you or not, but I'm like, he's supposed to punch Cena. And whoever I was with, we were like,
it was me.
Okay, you were like, what? So he's about to punch Cena, watch. And sure as shitting. I mean, it was too telegraphed.
Mm-hmm. Nobody is saying that The Rock is the Big Show is the best actor out there. I'm just saying that he has a really good delineation between a face character and a heel character. Whereas your Stone Colds play the exact same character. It's just how the audience perceives them.
Right.
So you've got two different types of characters out there. And Randy Orton is a Stone Cold type. Stone Cold type.
Flip-flopper. Yeah.
Because he doesn't change one way or the other. The Rock is not as wildly different as Show is, but is different enough that you can tell whether he's a face or a heel.
Yeah. I get that. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that was really good at flipping. Because it's hard to tell because a lot of people just don't do it that much anymore.
They really don't.
Oh, I got one. AJ Styles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's good.
I mean, you know, the phenomenal AJ Styles. I'm sorry. I always hate it when people always call themselves the great and all this kind of stuff. But him adding the phenomenal
mm-hmm.
to his name, his mic skills, his in-ring skills, the way he can flip-flop, he has earned that title.
He's earned it, yeah.
Because he really is. I mean, like, they were talking about different matches that Edge could do when he gets, before he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought was, because they were talking about on Corey Graves' podcast, you know, like, which matches of his would you like to see? Who would you like to see him go up against? And that was my first thought.
AJ
Styles. Because Chris Jericho is over in AEW now.
Mm-hmm.
Them two had the best matches. Because, like, you know, since he won the Royal Rumble, they can have him go against either one of the three champions.
Right.
The most likely one right now, they say, is probably Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Or, in one of the other pay-per-views leading up to the WrestleMania, I think Orton or somebody like that is going to win the title from McIntyre. And that's who he'll end up going up against. But the one that, you know, and I agree with them because they said one of the ones that probably intrigues them the most is a match between him and Finn Balor, who is the champion in NXT. And I think those two guys would be able to really feed well off each other because Finn Balor is one of those that he does good against pretty much anybody. He can help carry people along. Of course, so can the other guys. But, you know, he's not like with Daniel Bryan. You know, they're thinking he may end up winning one of the titles, but he's a smaller guy. But Daniel Bryan's one of those guys that don't do good against other smaller guys.
Right.
You know, he always has his best matches when he's up against guys that are two or three times his size. You know, so.
Like Ray Ray.
Well, everybody's two or three size of him.
Especially since they cut out using drugs.
Yeah. But there's a lot of different possibilities. I'm curious to see what all that means. I hope they don't go the way with the Orton. I know they had them two do a long deal against each other because there's, you know. They've always been really good friends,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I hope they don't keep that going. You know, they've told their story. It's time to move on to a different story for him.
Yeah, we'll just have to watch and see.
But I think they need to go back and just go back with more of the one Orton story I'm not tired of yet is the one with him and Bray Wyatt.
Of course, I'm
interested in any storyline that Ray Wyatt's in right now.
Right.
I said, I don't know if he's out hurt or what's going on because he's been out for a while. But I'm looking forward to him coming back because, like I said, any storyline he's in, I'm interested. with him and Alexa Bliss. I know we talked a lot about her last week because that's just.
Well, we need to kind of come to a close because we're past an hour.
Oh, really?
We are. It kind of came a little easier than I thought it would.
Yeah, I didn't think I thought we were going to have a rough time getting that far.
I've been having so much trouble concentrating. I have no idea what we talked about.
But I do want to start making notes on some of the older podcasts to see if there's anything corrections I want to make.
Yeah. And if your buddies that have been listening have any corrections that they want to make, just let us know.
Yeah, because there's some stuff that I want to go back and go over. Some of the smaller things that we kind of mentioned in passing, I'd like to do.
Like a full podcast on.
Yeah, kind of indulge in it a little bit more or dive into it a little bit more.
We want to do a Marvel podcast. Yeah. We need to watch WandaVision.
Because, you know, just some of the different things.
Get caught up on that.
About. Because we didn't talk about, were we on the podcast when I was talking to you about Worldbreaker Hulk?
No. We're going to talk about Worldbreaker Hulk on the Marvel podcast. Because
that little snippet I read about him, that's pretty crazy.
Well, it's going to have to be crazy for a different time.
I know.
Because we're bringing it to a close.
I know,
Tell everybody where to find you.
On that, is it the Instagram thing?
Well, Instagram.
And Twitter.
Yeah.
Forgot. Vaughn Shea 129?
0129. Vaughn Shea 0129 on Twitter. You can find me, Cricket Shea, on Twitter. Instagram, we are the Shea's Lounge. Twitter, we are the Shea's Lounge. Tell your friends about us. Come back and see us next week. And we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.